Stoicism ends. Life is immortal. This is the instant inspiration from Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California. Stoicism ends. Life is immortal. I was reading an article from the Quest magazine by the Philosophical Society, magazine of philosophy, science, religion, and the arts. And an article by Christian De Quincey, who is with the Noetic organization, and he's truly a scientist. And he would have you believe that if you don't believe in the oneness of all life as it's living right now, you believe nothing. I'd like to read a few paragraphs of what he says here. Stories matter, matter stories. Are rocks conscious? Do animals or plants have souls? Have you ever wondered whether worms or insects might feel pain or pleasure? Can trees feel anything at all? Ever wondered where in the great unfolding of evolution consciousness first appeared? If questions like these intrigue you, you are in good company, because they touch on the deepest mystery in modern philosophy, science, and spirituality. How are minds and bodies related? How does consciousness fit into the physical world? These are not just idle musings of philosophers. How we answer such questions can dramatically affect the way we live our lives, how we treat the world of nature and order of people, and even how we relate to our own bodies. If we are to feel at home in the cosmos, to be open to the full inflowing and outpouring of its profound creativity, if we are not to feel isolated and alienated from the full symphony of cosmic matter, both as distant as the far horizon of time and as near as the flesh on our own bodies, we need a new cosmology story. We need a new way to envision our relationship to the full panorama of the crawling, burrowing, swimming, gliding, flying, circulating, flowing, rooted, and embedded earth. We need to be and to feel differently, as well as to think and behave differently. Why? Well, listen to this from Bertrand Russell, one of the most respected and influential philosophers of our time. That man is the product of causes which had no prevision of the end. They are achieving with this organ. His growth, his hopes, his fears, his loves and beliefs are but the outcome of accidental coincidences of atoms. That no fire, no heroism, no intensity of thought and feeling can preserve an individual's life beyond the grave. That all the labors of the ages, all the devotion, all the inspiration, all the noonday brightness of human genius are destined to extinction in the vast death of the solar system, and the whole temple of man's achievement must inevitably be buried beneath the debris of a universe in ruins. All these things, if not quite beyond dispute, are yet so nearly certain that no philosophy which rejects them can hope to stand. He continues, this may be the most terrifying story ever told. Nevertheless, it is one we are born to. It expresses the terrible poetry of the meaningless universe rolling along entropic channels of chance, blind and without purpose, sometimes accidentally throwing up the magnificence and beauty of a natural and human creation, but inevitably destined to pull all glories asunder and leave no trace, no indication that we ever lived, that our lonely planet once bristled and buzzed with colorful life and reached out to the stars. Is it all for nothing? I would like to point out that such tragic way of looking at life is what the Stoics do. How people who are looking for proof, looking for evidence of a continuity of life, will look. Yet these people have no capacity to look beyond the atom. They have no capacity to look beyond the star, the earth, the moon, the sun. They have no capacity to look beyond our universe. They have no capacity to look beyond the infinity of all infinity that goes far beyond anything that science can even conceive of, much less interpret and define. What is that that goes beyond? What is it that's the allness? What is it that we are? Well, if we are to believe the man Jesus, or the teacher Jesus the Christ, he said we are immortal, we live forever. He demonstrated that with his overcoming his own death. But very few others have done that. And I say to you, that's not true. That's not true. There are very few people who have chosen to be teachers and share that type of philosophy who have done it. And most of the great gurus and the great philosophers and the great people who are in this life, they're in this life for a show. They're in this life as Jesus was in for a show, to be a showman. And all these great teachers that we have heard, they go down in enigmity, they go down in disgrace, they go down in misunderstanding. Paramahansa Yogananda went down in the most silly way. His body didn't dissolve. He was in a glass vault, and his body just remained the same as it was. But now, that in itself was charming. But the uncharming thing is that the county, the state, said you cannot lie around like that. And what difference would it make? I'm sure there are some other aspects to it that we're not being told. But his body did not decay. Well, now, that's nice. But why did he die? We do not have records because we are so naive. We do not have records of people who ascend. We do not have records of people who just take their bodies with them and chup, they're gone. We call the Missing Persons Bureau and say, hey, Joe's missing. Mary's not here. Foul play. No foul play. They just had that instant inspiration, which is a topic of our title of our topic here. They had that instant inspiration in which they got with it and they transcended and took their bodies with them. And another thing about this is, which makes it so amusing, if you were standing right next to them, you would notice it. You'd be aware that they took their body with them. But within a flash, you'd forget it. Like a spiritual healing that takes place. A spiritual healing takes place and not one single person on the face of the earth remembers that the person had ever been ill. No doctors, no hospitals, no nurses, no mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles and wives and husbands. Nobody. Nobody knows it. You say, well, how can we know that that takes place? Well, how can we say that it doesn't take place? Jesus has said to us that the last enemy we'll overcome is death, and we don't believe that. The Buddha says we live eternally. Lao Tse taught eternality. Confucius taught that. All of the great philosophers, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, all of them taught immortality. And not just immortality in our words, not immortality in our bodies, not immortality in our monuments, but immortality in our reality. Now, you see, there's a real tongue twister for you. Immortality in our reality. Our reality is the original purity and integrity in which we were born. Our reality is the original purity and integrity in which we're born. And that is faultless, that is complete, never changing, never revealing, never getting better, never getting worse, always being just its absolute perfect self, our original purity and integrity. The Stoics would have you believe that you should get as much fun out of life as you can, because tomorrow you may die. Eat, drink, and be merry. Remember that term? Everybody knows it. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. Well, if you go through life like that, you'll surely die quick, because you'll be all pushed out of shape in no time at all if you're eating, drinking, and be merry all the time. But if you be yourself and have fun, you live forever. Because the ideal of your living is immortal, is eternal, is wonderful. Now think of this. What is immortality? Is it that we remember the people? Is it that we remember the faces, the bodies? If I were to say, Ellen, what does your original purity and integrity look like? Would you say, this body you're looking at right now? No way. You would say, I don't even know what my original purity and integrity looks like. And the reason she'd say that is because she has been created a figment of humanity. She's been created as a concept out of the human mind, not only divine, but basically the human mind. Because you see, the divine mind says that your original purity and integrity is sacrosanct. The divine mind says that you are immortal, you are fantastic, you are lifeless and birthless and deathless, you are just eternal. And you don't mutate, you don't change, you don't get better, and you certainly don't get worse. You always are your perfect archetypal self. And you cannot conceive that for yourself, because you have been so taught by your human life and your human world that our bodies are made up of what they're made up with. And the cells change and mutate and grow. We get fatter or taller or shorter or longer or whatever. We get our hair grows gray and our eyes grow gray and our whatever. And that doesn't have to be. That doesn't have to be. But it is that way. And if you want to live in this world, you'll cooperate with that. Because if you are living in this world and you are expressing your original purity and integrity, you will not be seen by the world. Now, why will you not be seen? Because you'll be wearing your immortality. And you'll be participating in the world, much like you'd go to a museum. And you look at the museum and you see all these things of what has been in the past and what science is working on today and things like that. And you say, oh, that's interesting. And nothing in the museum looks up at you and says, oh, hi, Herb. How you doing? Nothing does that. Even though you have been the creator of a lot of those things. It doesn't shout out at you, because it does not recognize you. It does not recognize anything but itself. And that's why it's there. The Stoics would have you believe that at death, that's the finality of all. And if it is, that's just fine. I don't believe that. I believe that life is immortal. I believe that we go on from experiences to experiences, however we want to choose to have them, and that we do not remember the past. If we remembered the past of the millions and millions and millions which did not pass, if you remember the concurrency of the millions and millions of lives that you're living at one time, you'd be spending all your time concentrating on those things. You can. You can. And you do it. Sometimes in your dream, you have strange dreams of doing strange things. Why would I ever do something like that? Why would I ever be involved in water skiing down a mountain, you know? You know, my goodness sakes, you know? There are people, and water skiing, jumping out of an airplane, you know, and taking your ski and just sort of planing through the sky as though the air is really holding you up. All you're doing is dancing with the consciousness you have in your mind at your rate of fall and having a ball. That's having a wonderful time. But you see, that takes imagination. That takes genius. That takes an immortality. If those people were fearful of dying, they wouldn't do that, would they? If those people were fearful of having something happening to them, they wouldn't do that. They couldn't do that, because if they did that, they would fall and die right away. But no, they are sort of dressed in their immortality, and they flow through the air, and they do the various things, and they wait until the last minute, 1,000, 2,000 feet, and then they pull the ripcord so that they gently come down on earth. And some people, when they're really on skis, and there's really a snow slope there, fit it out so that they just come down and they land on the slope and they go flying along. I mean, that's magic. But that's magic for only one thing. They're not afraid of death. They're not reckless with their lives. You say, well, they're reckless with their lives because they're putting themselves in jeopardy. They're not putting themselves in jeopardy. They're just flowing with the divine. They're flowing with the grandness of who they are. They're flowing with the magic of their immortality. Do you want magic in your immortality? Do you want to live this eternality? You haven't the slightest idea what it means. But in a matter of speaking, it does sound great, doesn't it? It does sound like it's better than ending it all when the day comes to put it all away. But that's just the way the ball goes. And that's the way we go. If we are going to be afraid of death, then we're going to die. And we're going to die a horrible death, a death with pain and illness and unhappiness and everything else. However, if you're not afraid of it, you'll move into one dimension, another dimension, in such a rapid succession of activity that you just won't imagine such thing as possible. One day we'll talk about these dimensions a little further. Mm-hmm. But right now, we're talking about Stoicism ends and life is immortal. In this story here, well written as it is, he tells a story about how science is proving that this is it and that there is no future. That if you don't live this life well, that's it. Well, now, is that true? If that's not true, then we don't spend our time reading things that are like this because they don't complement our understanding. I recommend to each of you that you read whatever things support your philosophy. And I don't care what it is, but whatever your philosophy is, read what supports your philosophy. Because if you spend time reading anything else, you are being a fool. You're putting pornographic material in your mind, so to speak, which is going to cause you to, after a while, think pornographic material is okay. The more you read it, the more you think it's okay. The more you read mathematical books, the more you think, hey, mathematical books are pretty interesting. And before, you couldn't stand the thought of it, you know. And the more you have other projects in your mind, wherever your heart is, do little boys who have been trained to play the piano as little boys ever hate the piano? Yeah. They may have a love-hate relationship with it, but they really love it. And they're proud to sit down and show off what they do know. Sometimes it's very little. But they're proud to sit down and show what they do know. And this is how it is when we start studying our divine self. When we start listening to the divine within ourselves, start listening to who we are and what we are, then miracles begin happening. So, Stoicism ends, and life begins. Life is immortal. Don't let anybody be your pessimist. Be your own optimist. and you watch what's going to happen to your life. Miracle after miracle after miracle. I love you and have a wonderful day.